And I'm going to do this series called Flip the Script. And I don't know about you, but when I watch movies, TV shows, there's a lot of times like I'm watching and I can basically write the script for them. Has anybody ever seen Air Buddy? The original. I'm not talking about Space Buddies. I'm not talking about the Full Family Dogs. I'm talking about the original. Anybody? Do I have to get rid of that illustration completely? Let me explain. Air Buddy is this kid's movie that's torturous about a dog who can play basketball. All right, so this kid's alone, and he wants to join the basketball team. He's on the outside, and he finally makes the team, and the team shrinks to four or five players, and they need an extra player, and here comes the dog, Air Buddy, to come rescue the day. There's a bad guy in it who comes and kind of steals the dog because the dog's pretty talented because he can make baskets, and then there's this little battle of who gets the dog. All right, and so Air Buddy was the original. And then there was a volleyball version, and then there was a soccer version, then there was a football version. Are you familiar with this? They made, I don't know if there was rugby, but I'm pretty sure every, bocce, I'm sure there was in there. I don't know. I didn't see them all, but I could have written the script. After watching the first one, I knew every time. Have you ever seen a chick flick? They're basically the same story over and over again. They have two different endings. That either someone dies or they fall in love, right? It's the same ending, different hitch. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, all the same. The guys are like, that's true. We should never watch one again because I can tell you how it ends. But guy movies are the blow-em-up movies, Die Hard, and those type of, they're the same script. There's a guy caught in a bad situation. There's a bad guy. They do blowing things up, then blowing some more things up. Really, there's no plot, blowing things up. And at the end, they stop blowing things up. That's basically the plot of, and TV's the same way. I don't know, White Collar, Hawaii Five-0. It's the same script. Change a little detail. Phineas and Ferb? Anybody? Phineas and Ferb? You need to watch the show because it's a classic. Not really, but it's the same pattern lived out. And what I want to walk us through is we live in a world that's patterned. We live scripted lives. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes I'm this morning, you probably followed some kind of script coming to church this morning. You probably did your morning routine the same way. I'm just guessing. You probably woke up. You had your breakfast the same time. If you ate breakfast, if you take a shower at night or morning, like you mean you lived a pattern today already before 9:33 a.m. You probably sat in the same spot close to this morning. We live, and that's just one aspect. Do you know in marriage, we live pattern too? Like we come into a stressful situation and we fight the same way every time. There's a pattern, right? Fight or flight. There's probably a few more in there, but you know that when you're in a stressful situation with your spouse, this is how they're going to react to this stressful situation. They'll either attack and fight, or they will run and get away. We live that same pattern over and over and over again, and a lot of different ways. You know what? That's also like Groundhog's Day. You wake up and you're doing the same thing. There are some movies that kind of break the mold a little bit, even though some of you are really, you claim to be really smart, like Sixth Sense. I know I'm going older movies, but Sixth Sense was one of those movies that you're like, you think you have the pattern figured out until there's that moment of, some of you got it before, or at least you say you got it before the rest of us did, but then you're like, oh, that. I think what I want to do this morning for this series, I want to flip your script a little bit. You are living a pattern that sometimes is unhealthy, is unbiblical. It's not right. And I want to flip your script. I think God wants to flip your script. He wants to change the way you think. But I wanted to start this morning by you seeing, hopefully I can tell you the story of why all these scripts are not working right. What's the main script? What's the main storyline of our world? It starts in Genesis chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm going to just talk you through Genesis 1 and 2. This is my favorite scripture, and so I'm coming back to it today. Genesis 1 and 2 is like the world as it should be. Beauty it. like sensory, full of senses, like smells and sight and touch and taste. If you want it, it's like sensory overload. It's like the most amazing place that you have been to. It's like Ecuador plus. It's like the beach plus. And so this beautiful location and everything is clicking. Everything is like going the way it's supposed to go. It's like a beautiful tapestry that's just like woven together, and it's just amazing. It's a beautiful painting that you're just like wowed at, and that's creation. That's what God made us for. So the original script was for us to walk in creation in this beauty. The biggest give you four areas that we were really created for. One is this: we were created to walk with God in intimacy. Not this distance, not this far away thing where you're like, does he exist? Does he not exist? Like when in the garden, the Bible says that God was walking among the trees in the garden. He's walking in the middle of the garden, and he wanted intimacy with us. We have no clue what that's like the way it was originally designed. We have tastes. I hope that you've had experiences where you're like, man, God is incredible. I've had some great only God stories. I know him. I'm getting to know him. I'm falling in love with him. I'm doing life with him. You're moving that direction. And so that's how the original was started. But that's not just what God created. He created us for that. But we were right too. Let me read this verse to you. Genesis 2:21. And this may seem like just a throw-in verse, but this may be the most beautiful and amazing verse in all of this chapter. It says this: Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. They were authentic. There was no guilt. There was no shame. There was no hiding. They were who they were. So they, relationally, there were no walls up. Adam and Eve were as intimate as any two people could be intimate because they weren't trying to hide anything. There was no disgust. There was no like, I can't believe I did that. There was no like, I'm such a stupid person. There's no mistakes that they were trying to hide. There was no, they were like right. Now think, let me change this. Because we can only know that from the opposite. Like we have emotions that God has given us to tell us when things are wrong, right? There's pain, like the physical pain. So we know that when our thumb gets jammed, it gets bent back, we feel it, and then we know something's wrong. So now we experience emotions, right? Anger, frustration, fear, right? They weren't there in the beginning of the garden, not the negative emotions, because there was no pain, right? There was nothing wrong. All those emotions are reasons. They're like, there's something wrong. We get frustrated. There's something wrong. We see something in our world, and we get angry at it. There's something wrong. There's something not right. And what I'm saying is, in the garden, relation, we were right, which also means that we were right with each other. We could walk, we could just like having deep friendships. No betrayals. No one turned their back on you, right? I mean, like this authenticity, like it was real. The Bible says it was really good. And then there's also one more, that in the garden we were created to work. We were created to have purpose. We were created to go after something. And in the garden, in perfection, it was a pleasure, right? It was enjoyable. It was a delight. It was like, this is, I love this. I love waking up in the morning and going here. I love spending my time doing this. I love to have purpose in my life. I love to go after it. Now, that was the script that God had written for us. Perfection. Just delight. Like, that's life as it should be. There's a biblical word for that called shalom. It means peace, but it means a whole lot more. It means wholeness. It means this is right. And I think all of you and me and all our world is trying to get back there. And I think that's true. We're all trying to get back to that fullness, to that click. We're all trying to be right with us. We're trying to feel right. We're trying to have good relationships. We're trying to have purpose in our work. We're all searching for it, but we're all, let me turn to tell you what flipped the script, right? Because something went wrong. Something misfired there. And here we go over into Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for them. All of a sudden, Adam and Eve take the fruit, they eat the fruit, and all of a sudden, everything gets flipped. Now, if you were like me, I'm like, it's a stinking piece of fruit. It's, you know, it's a meal. But it was, you know what it really was? It's about this idea of whose kingdom this whole thing is. It's a kingdom question. See, in the garden, God is king. He reigns. He is sovereign. He is creating the goodness. He is giving us his goodness. He is the King of Kings, and we're his subjects. We follow him. We know him. He reigns in every aspect of that world. When Adam and Eve took the fruit, all of a sudden, it's not really about the fruit. It's about what they're saying with the fruit, that I reign. I'm King of Kings. I'm going to rule it my way. All right? All of a sudden, it goes from God's kingdom now to each of us have our own kingdom. And in that flip, in that switch, the world starts spiraling out of control. Our scripts are now written because of that sin and because of our sin. You know what I mean by sin? Any time that we put ourselves as king, it's sin. This is not murdering somebody. This is not lying. It's any time that you know what God wants you to do and you don't do it, you're missing the mark. You're not letting him reign. And so all of a sudden, all these things start happening in the garden. Sin comes, and we have, all of a sudden, we see fear, right? They're afraid. Now we have fear in our world. There's shame. People are hiding from each other. There's like things that we despise about ourselves. We're angry with ourselves. There are things that we don't even want to think about anymore. Things that were done to us and things that we have done. There's this like, almost like, I don't even want to deal with that. I want to hide even from myself from that. There's disconnect. We feel disconnected from God. Sometimes we feel disconnected with our kids, with our spouse, with our friends. There's blame. Like, we know the world's not right, and guess what? It's your fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's God's fault. Never my fault. We have frustration. We have pain. We have death. We have nature is affected. We have hurricanes. We have cancer. We have all sorts of crazy things health-wise. And all of this was flipped by that switch of us trying to be our own kings. There's guilt. And really, there's a loss of Eden. All of a sudden, we start living this script out towards destruction. Like, everything's falling apart. And I want to pause for a second. Because if you watch the news, I think this fits what's happening in our world. You know, pick up any article. Whether you read a newspaper, which is paper, or you're online. You see our world spiraling from the causes and effects. You sit down with somebody at work or a friend, and you hear their story, what's going on in their life. You hear the effects of all of our sin. You hear the hurricanes coming through. You hear the effects of the effects of sin. Right? It flipped our script. You know, you hear about broken marriages, abuse of kids, our social service system and how broken that is, but politics and how someone's taking a bribe from somebody else. All that we see in our world, all that we experience in our life is flown from the script of sin in our life. That he is no, we choose not to have him king anymore. And I'm just telling you that over centuries, this is not a new world thing. This has been since the garden. When the flood was happening, when God decided to send the flood, he says that every inclination of man's heart is wrong. Like, God was frustrated because of what happened with with his king. They rejected his kingship. He's like, man, every inclination of their heart, everything that they try to do is wrong because they're not turning to me. Over in Judges, it says this, everyone did what was right in their, do you know the phrase? In their own eyes. Now, not God's eyes, in their eyes. They're like, I'm king. Isn't that what it means? Does that sound like our world? Everyone can do what they want as long as they decide themselves what they want to do. But the problem is that doesn't change our script. Do you see where the script's heading? It's not, we're drifting further and further away from Eden, and that's not what we were designed for. But there's something that happened that wants to, he wants to change the script again. Because in your life, as you see the, your script playing out and your sinfulness affecting every area of your life, your marriages and your work and everything, there is something that God did that's changing the script. And it's over, we'll start in Mark chapter 1, Mark 1:15. Says this. The time, Jesus comes, says, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. He says, let me just explain something to you. There's a new kingdom coming. I'm restoring my kingdom. I'm coming back to take charge again. I want to restore what my kingdom was like. That's what his kingdom was like. It was like Eden. And so as he starts his ministry in the world, Jesus starts what he's trying to do. He's preaching a restoration of Eden. He's preaching, hey, I want to take us back to when everything was clicking. When you could know me, the God of the universe. When you didn't have shame and this wrongness about us. I want to remove that. I want to be able to help you deal with relationships. I want that to click with you. I want you to have purpose in what you do with your life. He says, I want to come and I want to reign again. And he offers this kingdom of God. Do you notice that throughout the rest of the book? If you read the Gospels, how many times the kingdom of God comes up? He tells stories. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. And he's really saying, you want to know what the reign of God is like? Let me just tell you a little story. You want me to tell you what me being king is like? Let me just tell you a little story. Let me just do this message on Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And what he does is he comes and changes every script. He says, you thought that it's good enough not to murder. I want to tell you, that's not good enough. You can't be even angry with your brother. Let me just change your script a little bit. You think adultery is sleeping with someone else's wife? Let me just change the script a little bit for you. That any time that you think lustfully after someone, you're committing adultery in your heart with that person. You follow me? And he changes he's like this message about, oh, but let me tell you who's blessed? Blessed are the poor in the spirit. You think the rich are blessed? No. This is the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, for they're going to inherit the earth. You know, he just changes everything. He changes everything even when he comes in contact with people. The woman at the well, the son's like, you can't talk to that woman. She's a woman. She's a Samaritan. And she's obviously messed up. She's lived a broken script. And Jesus changes the script. They're about ready to stone another woman who was caught in the act of sleeping with someone. And Jesus changes the script. And you look at every story, every part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is this guy coming, Jesus, who is God, coming to change the script. He's a switch. He changes everything, the way the disciples viewed everything. He is the restorer. And here's the main, if you have the main thought this morning on my message, is that we can try to switch our script. We can try to change things the way we're doing it, and I don't think it's going to work because it hasn't over the time of history. There is one person, one king who comes and changes the script, and I can tell you story after story after story of people who have come in contact with this Jesus, who made him Lord of their life, the king again. And all of a sudden their life changes. They go from a drug dealer to a pastor. They go from a murderer to someone who has purpose, who's connected with God. He changes the course of every person. Let me just tell you this. He changed the course of every person he ever met that made him king. Not one person who made him king of their life did he not change. Did he not transform? Did he not flip the script? And I'm just telling you, the flip is a restoration of Eden. And we may not get that completely here, but I got to tell you, when he comes in all his glory, do you know what I mean? When he comes in all his beauty and all his power, when he comes to make all things right, it's going to be a glorious, it's going to be an amazing day. Let me just give you another verse because I think this is critical. You have to understand this in order to understand his story that's playing out. It's over in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, they're like, because they were all waiting for the king. They were waiting for the switch too, as we are. You know, every election, isn't that like people waiting for a switch, waiting for a flip of the script? It seems like this is the year we're going to flip our script. It says, when's this kingdom come? When are you going to restore the nation of Israel to its glory? When are you going to have this kingdom set up? And he says, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom is not something that can be observed. It's not going to be through battles and armies growing. Verse 21. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. And I would say there's another translation that says it's inside of you. Like the kingdom of God in the new time, when Jesus came, there'll become a time when he's King of Kings and he's bringing a kingdom like the nation of Israel or our nation, like over it all. But the first time he came to say, I want to offer you my kingdom for your life. I want to offer you me to be your king. The word we use sometimes is we need to accept him as Jesus as our Lord. Sometimes we get confused what that means. It means king, ruler, leader. Come follow me. Leadership. And he says, I'm not coming to make everything right out there yet, because if I did that, I'd have to get rid of you because you're not right. And so in order to make things all these things right, I want to start with you by offering you this kingdom, this reign in your life, and I want to start by flipping your switch, flipping your script, changing you. And then someday I'll come and really justice will be done all through the earth, and he will restore the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that the only flip of the script, the only thing that can change the direction and the course of your life, the only plan that God ever made was Jesus Christ. Not religion, not being good enough, not reading a secular or even a Christian book. It is Jesus Christ and letting him be King of Kings of your life. See, most of the time when we talk about this idea of church, we think that's good enough. As long as we come to church, it's good enough. What God is offering is so much bigger than that. He wants to change you. I'm going long already, but let me just tell you this. He wants to remove your shame. He wants to take away your fear. He wants to restore what's wrong with you inside. He wants to heal your struggle. He wants to come and bring peace. He wants to break down racial division. He wants to come and make justice in our world. He wants to come and use the church to bring his kingdom here. Like this idea of church is about kingdom. Bring the kingdom. Because we have a king that is worth it all. And I want to stop right here because I think it's important this morning. And you can stay looking at me. That's fine. I want to ask you this morning, have you made him king of your life yet? Lord, have you turned your life over to him and say, I want restoration of Eden. I want you to bring healing to me. I need you to be my Lord. And so I want to ask you to do that for me this morning. I want to tell you that you can do that today. That's the great thing about the kingdom. It's not someday. It can be today. And as we lean into that flip, into Jesus, he starts gradually making you into something else. He starts restoring your beauty. See, do you know this? That you were created in the image of God in all its like God put in you something amazing, like something beautiful, something unique, but it reflects him. You know what an image is, right? It's the mirror. Like you look in a mirror, it's a reflection. We're not God, but we reflect him. And that reflection is all messed up because of sin and our rebellion against him. He says, I want you to know that I want to restore your beauty. I want to bring you back to that. I want you to bring you back to the person I designed you to be. And that's what God is offering this morning. So what I want to do, we'll do it this way. I want you to close your eyes for a second. I just want to know, is there anyone here this morning who's never done it? You've been to church, you've gone through all the stories, you know, but you've never really come to grips that Jesus wanted to be your king. You want him to be your king this morning for the first time. Is anyone in here who wants to do that this morning? Let me just pray for you. Lord, I thank you that you are King of Kings, that you're the restorer. I thank you that you're waiting and not restoring everything yet so you can give us this offer. I thank you for the reminder in our world that there is a force, there is sin at work. Like we see these reminders of brokenness all over us, all over the world here. And I just thank you that you are the one that's going to restore. And so we submit our lives to you so that you can be our king. In Jesus' name, amen.